Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What a difference a week makes. At this time, 7 days ago, Marty, you were enjoying solitude, freedom from me, time on the golf course at Danny Gare's event, and the world thought of Canada as an innocent place. Now, a bunch of cheaters. And that leads us into the start of our show. I got sour on the Olympics in 1988 when Ben Johnson's scandal went down, and Canada hasn't learned a thing since.
Well, Ben Johnson was set up. He was doping along with everybody else on that starting grid, including Carl Lewis. He's the only one that hasn't got caught.
Allegedly.
He hasn't got caught. Ben Johnson was set up, and there's a great 30 for 30 on that. On ESPN, you go watch it. It's really entertaining, especially if you were of that generation that watched the 80s for that, you know, fastest man. And then there was the Donovan Bailey, Michael Johnson, like a few years later, there was the 150 meter race at the Sky Dome, the whole thing. Right. But anyway, the whole Canada thing, I like to think, well, I always joked around, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, because that's what goalies we did. We found little ways to add a little piece of equipment here, a little piece of equipment there. Mm-hmm. Knee blocks, bigger jersey, right? Mm-hmm. And then here with obviously the NFL and the Bills and the Patriots scandal and cheating and filming and all of that, you're like, cheaters, cheaters. We don't stand for cheaters. And Tom Brady with the deflated balls. But I still think
don't forget about the Astros.
Yeah, well, the Astros too, banging the drum, the whole thing, right? And then the whole drone flying Canada soccer thing with the women's team is
accompanied by a Rick Westhead TSN story that has sources saying it's been going on both Canadian programs, men's and women's, for years.
Yes, yes. And then, Canada won the gold at the 2021 Olympics, which were the 2020 Olympics. It didn't happen that summer. They moved to 2021. And I forget her name, but the Canadian goaltender who was fantastic in penalty kills, right? Like in penalty kicks, I should say, not penalty kills. That's another thing. She posted something basically saying, nobody ever told me what the other teams were going to do in penalty kicks. I studied, I watched tapes, I looked at the players. So, no drones or anything would have helped me, whatever, which maybe that's good for her. But as a coach, you're helping others doing so, whatever. I mean, why do they have close practice anyway? I remember we were with the Sabres Duffer. Yeah, exactly. So this is where I'm going to go. We're with the Sabres. We go to LA. We're in the LA Kings and LA Lakers, basically practice facility, practice area. Yeah. So we skate on the ice, whatever. And then we found out that the Lakers were practicing on the court, right? And an off day or whatever. All the windows are taped black. Like you can't see, you can't go in. I'm like, what's going on? Like, why is everybody so secretive about their practices? Why is soccer so secretive about their practices? You want to watch a hockey practice? If you're another team, you can sit there and watch it.
Yeah, but Lou wouldn't allow it.
Lou wouldn't allow it. Lou was weird like that. But I'm just saying, like, why? Like, what are you, like, are you trying to hide? Or there's no secrets.
You tell me. You're the one who's been inside the room.
Hey?
I said, you tell us. You're the one that's lived the experience. What's to gain? What's to hide? How big is the cheating scandal? When is a Stanley Cup champion going to get caught for cheating other than circumventing the cap, which everybody loves to get wrangled?
It's not going to happen. So I get it if you're like baseball, knowing the pitches, right? That's huge for a batter. You know if it's going to be.
They've been stealing signs in baseball since the 20s
for years. There's just a way of being able to relay that message other than banging on a garbage can so that, you know, you're like, hey, that pitcher has a tell. When he holds his glove that way, it's going to be a fastball. When he's like holding it this, like, okay.
Right.
That's all part of the game. In hockey, the game goes so fast. Even if you were like hiding your practices, because you said we have Tage Thompson on the power play or Alex Ovechkin on the power play or Steven Stamkos on the power play. And instead of being on the right side of or the left side of the formation on the one timer, we're going to move him to the other side or whatever. It happens so fast. You adjust on the fly. There's no times in hockey that I thought, oh, coaches said, watch for this in the play. Like before a face-off, maybe, you're like, okay, watch for that play. As they're coming up the ice and a set breakout, maybe you watch for something. But when the play is happening in hockey, it's so fast that you don't really have time to think about a special play other than what is happening in front of you. In football, I can understand formations, moving players around. Like you want to, the plays are different. But hockey happens way too fast.
Most other sports, yeah. I mean, most, and especially soccer, because it's, you know, not a lot of offense. So if there's
set pieces, if you know what they're going to do on a corner kick, on a free kick, it helps you, obviously. But it's still a matter of execution. I still go back to like Marv Levy, what he said when he coached here in Buffalo. I'm only going to have, you know, a handful of offensive plays. It's about us executing them the way that we need to. And if we execute well on offense, we're going to get it done. It doesn't matter if they know the play's coming, about execution and making it happen.
Well, what do you think the fallout should be for Canada in the process here, despite, you know, eliminating their coaching staff pretty much? Like what? Let's hypothetically say they go on to win gold again.
Well, I thought about that yesterday.
It would feel kind of tainted, wouldn't it?
I've thought about that yesterday as if I was part of an organization. I'm just going to use like the Buffalo Sabres, right? I'm part of the Buffalo Sabres organization, and I have knowledge that they are cheating, like about something that they shouldn't. Like maybe they're hiding some revenues, or maybe they're like, what do you do if you have that knowledge, right? If you're with Canada Soccer and you had knowledge of that happening, you can't continue with Canada Soccer. Like anybody that had knowledge that did not say anything, and if unless you went up to your superior and said, hey, this is going on, and the superior didn't do anything about it or told you, I'll handle it, and then moved on. Like there's got to be more impact throughout the whole system. And again, it comes down to there's already been some major, major issues with Canada soccer, like in Canada, whatever. So now you're dealing with even more of that.
Yeah. Now, how does it tie into today?
Well, Carolina definitely, that's our team of the day, by the way. They definitely cheated in 2006 when we went there and they had a remote control on the puck as Brian Campbell went around the net and shot it in the crowd. Like that, it shouldn't have gone out to play. It should have hit the glass, but they shortened their glass and they lightened the puck. So that's why it went out of play. They cheated. Right, so Carolina's cheaters.
More on that story later. Shayna Goldman's also going to join us. You know, the big news yesterday that I'm sure we'll touch on more with Shayna.
Yes.
Is the contract of Travis Konecny.
Yes.
What was your immediate reaction?
My immediate reaction is this is one that I always have been really high on. Like Travis Konecny has been on my list of players that I'm like, I like him. I love the way that he plays. I would want him on my team. And now that obviously his contract, it's not starting this year. It's the next year after because he has 1 year left on his contract. It's an extension a year from now. But it tells me that Briere and the Flyers are going to be aggressive. Like this year, they almost made the playoffs. They weren't there yet. They had some goalie issues. They, you know, they still have gotten some really good players, and Konecny is one of them. And now they add Matvey Michkov to the fold. So $8.75 million a year on an 8-year extension. I think this is a really, really good contract for the Philadelphia Flyers. You don't like it?
You know how much I love the player. He was top of the list as far as who I wanted Buffalo to acquire among all those players who had 1 year remaining, right? Like that was my focal point, was like, hey, try to grab a guy with 1 year left. Let him play it out. Hopefully he has a massive year. If he chooses to stay, great. If not, you got the best out of him before free agency, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying and thinking at first blush. Now, I know Shayna's going to probably help us put it into, you know, some pretty good perspective later. It's a lot more than Tage Thompson.
Yes. Well, when you compare it to other contracts in the league, like a contract like Tage and whatever, but I just feel like that's now We're 2 years later after Tate signed his contract, and the rates are going up. The cap is going up. Clearly. The rates are going up.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's even almost like if I told you,
it's more than Sam Reinhardt.
Yeah, it's more than Sam, but Sam, different situation. Obviously, we all know that. But being in Florida, Sam's going to make more money in his pocket than Travis Konecny. But Sam also scored 50 plus goals this year. Konecny was a 33 goals this year, I think. So,
yeah, over the last 2 years, Konecny is top 20. In the NHL in goals per game. But that's basically it. Like, it's the last 2 years that have been, you know, great for him. It walked him into this contract situation. He was a good player. Now he's bordering on being one of the top goal scorers in the game. And based on what you said, given the strides that Philadelphia took last year, pretty good chance he just continues to add, you know, I see no reason why Konecny can't become a 40-goal scorer. It's just interesting to me that that number comes in so much higher than someone like Tage already. That's all.
So it's funny because you use Tage as an example, right? Tage is at 7.1 or whatnot, and Konecny is at 8.75. But okay, let's look at it and say Konecny is at 8.75 and Dylan Cousins is at 7 million. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, okay, yeah, Konecny should be a million more probably than Dylan Cousins, at least in my opinion. Like, especially when you look at the numbers last season, the numbers the last 2 years, Dylan signed.
Well, they were both 30 goal scorers the year before.
2 years ago, yes.
So Travis has one more 30 goal season.
Yes, although Konecny was 24 goals, like 3 years in a row. He went 24, 24, 24. And I believe, if you ask me what is Travis Konecny, I think he's at 35 goals, 45 to 50 assists, 85 points, right?
But which also, he hasn't done yet.
I think that's where this contract should elevate him to. Mm-hmm. That's one. Two, he gives you a physical edge, intensity, a kind of game that I would be looking for. Like, if I am a team and I'm drafting a player and I'm hoping that player turns into something unique, something special that we are going to have, mm-hmm. Travis Konecny is that guy. Is 8.75 right now a bit of a sticker shock? Yes, but I do believe that Travis Konecny next year, which he's, you know, not making that, you take next year and the 8 years and you make an average, it's going to lower his AAV, obviously. And all of a sudden he's getting you way more than that value.
Yes. As he has the last 2 years at 5.5. So yeah. It turned out to be, as many expected at the time, a really good contract for the player who was growing into the scoring role. And ultimately it turned out to be a really good one for the team because they're still getting one more year at 5.5 out of a 2-time 30 goal scorer. That's it for me, Marty. It's 13 minutes after the hour and I am tapped out on hockey stuff today.
Well, there wasn't a lot going on this week. We hit the Sabres stuff with Beck Malenstein and Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. Still want to talk to Shayna when we talked to her at the bottom of the hour about Luukkonen, and you know, because I really, the more and more I think about it, I'm like, is this a good deal, a great deal, or a home run? These are the three choices when I look at it. And I've been critical of Luukkonen in the sense that mostly before last year, I was always, I don't know if he is a full-time NHL guy just yet. Maybe he works to that part, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he proved last year in a very, very difficult environment and situation, because I don't think that the guys in front of Luukkonen helped him a whole lot. Number one, they didn't have the goal support. And two, they gave up a lot of scoring chances and a lot of high danger chances, you know, against Luukkonen. And he was really good in those situations. So yeah, I think he showed a lot last year. So now all of a sudden I'm like, is it a good, a great, or a home run contract? That's where I'm still standing at right now.
Mm-hmm. Team of the day, obviously, is Carolina, as you alluded to off the top. So we could jump into that right now based on the fact that it has been an eventful offseason for them organizationally and obviously player-wise, because they do not resemble to a T the team that ultimately came up short in their playoff run. And they still have two significant signings remaining.
Yes.
Marty Natchez and Seth Jarvis. Now, they've added a couple of former Sabres, Tyson Jost, Eric Robinson. They added Will Carrier on a six-year deal. They lost some role players. They obviously were unable to retain Jake Guentzel, despite that moment in time when it looked like he was going to stay. And then all of a sudden, poof, it disappeared. Mike, I'm going to start with a different question, though.
Okay.
If the Hurricanes make the playoffs again next year, who's their night one starter in goal?
It's going to be Kochetkov. Look, it's Anderson and Kochetkov in net right now, but I do feel, unfortunately, I really like Freddie Anderson as a goaltender. The way that he plays, he's big, doesn't waste energy. He's not as athletic as Shesterkin and Vasilevskiy and Saros and those guys, Sorokin, right? Even the Lukanen, very athletic in the way that he plays. Anderson's not like that. Anderson's more like a Connor Hellebuck in the way that he plays, very structured, a little bit more stiff. But I like that if you're efficient in the way that you play. With Freddie has shown efficiency in the way that he plays. Mm-hmm. The injuries and I don't know Freddie Anderson all that well. You talk about, you know, with a lot of people around the league and people that have been with him, and they question if the motivation sometimes is there and the heart is there, right? Fighting through some ailments and really getting, you know, to play full 82-game season. Goalies don't play all 82, but still getting to play 50, 55, 60 games because you're needed to do so. He didn't do it in Toronto, didn't do it in Carolina. So now they move on to, hey, there's a young guy that they really
have they moved on, though?
Could take, well, they haven't moved on, but I'm just saying now you say switch your gears, right? You have Anderson and you have Kochetkov. You've tried the Anderson thing and you're like, okay, we probably are going to switch our focus to Kochetkov now and say, can he do it, right? Can we give him the reins at the start of the season and make that happen? Mm-hmm. And I think that would be the plan for the Carolina Hurricanes starting this year, is to move away from Anderson and really put it all on Kochetkov's plate. So that's who it would be, my starter.
And are you a believer in Kochetkov?
I was a big time believer when he came up through the NHL, and then it dipped a little bit. I still think that there's not enough of a sample for me to really be a believer, but give me the first 2 months. Give me October and November this year on a really different looking team because of all the subtractions. Yeah, the additions are what they are, but the subtractions that Carolina has had to deal with this year.
You want to try that one more time?
See if Kochetkov can do it. Hey,
you want to try that one more time?
Subtractions?
No, take the S out.
Subtraction?
Subtractions. I know you can do it because Pawmaster 43 is all about traction. So.
Yeah, I am all about traction. But listen, I'm also about all the Latvians in the league. And it's like they don't just add S's at the end of the names. They add them in between.
Just throw them in anywhere.
Throw them anywhere. So subtractions. I'm looking at it and I'm saying, you know what? Let's see how Kochetkov does. But you talk about these. I talk about this subtraction. There's significant names. Duffer, Carolina last year. Carolina was good last year. They were second in the Metro only because the Rangers won the President's Trophy. They were third overall. They had 111 points. You know, you look at the balance that they had. Sebastian Aho, 36 goals. He also had 89 points. It's not 110. It's not 115 points. But they had balance in everybody that was on the roster. But they lose Brady Shea, Nason, Pesci, Teravainen, Guentzel, D'Angelo, Kuznetsov, Kuznetsov came in late. But it's still a name, a recognized name that you lose. They lost a lot, and they lost a lot of those players that played minutes on the power play, a lot of those players that played minutes on the penalty kill. They've lost a big part of what I thought was their identity last year.
If I do this, am I going to get the balloons off air? On air too. You know why I did that? Sebastian Aho, 27 today.
Yes.
How nice of it to fall on Hurricanes Day.
It was not prepared. So let's just say this. It was a full coincidence.
Okay, but if he was making a prepared statement on behalf of the organization on the heels of renewing the contract of Marty Natchez, is he going to stand there and say, we're thrilled to have Marty back? Or are they all just going to be like, eh, business is business. He'll do his thing. We'll do ours. How do we feel about the whole Marty Natchez ongoing, you know, situation with Carolina?
Look, as a professional, you have to know sometimes players are not fully happy. And that's from the outside, right? There's also an inside the locker room. I played with some guys that, you know, they were complete jerks in the locker room. And you're like, can we get this guy out of here for no other reason than he doesn't fit and he's not good with everybody else. I don't know Marty Natchez. I think Marty Natchez's situation is more that he wants to be on the top power play. He wants to play top two lines. He wants to be given those opportunities. It probably has nothing to do with the person that he is and how he fits in with the rest of his teammates. Mm-hmm. It's more like, can I get that opportunity? He will get that opportunity in Carolina this year. They don't have Gensel. They don't have, Kuznetsov wasn't really there. Teräväinen was playing power play as well. Like, they don't have a lot of players, and all of a sudden, Natchez will probably elevate to that role. So that's why, you know, I think Carolina's going to, well, they're going to, Natchez is going to arbitration. If they don't settle before, they're going to pay him $7 million or whatever for 1 year just to have him there. I think that's what he's going to get.
What is he? Is he the near 30 goal scorer from a couple of years ago? Or is he the closer to 50 points-ish like this past season where he finished with 53?
I think he's more the 30 goal scorer that he was close to being 2 years ago. Again, okay. Like if he's 25, 50, right? 75 points.
I don't want to be paying him $7 million. Not with the issue. I said, if he's that, you don't want to be paying him $7 million.
25 goals, 50 assists, 75 points.
I thought you were saying 25, 50.
No. If he's 25, 50, 75, right? Like, I'm just saying, like, yeah. That's where he was 71 points 2 years ago.
Right.
And if you give him that opportunity last year,
but Marty, you say that he was on the team and he was coming off of a big year. I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
I would feel like opportunity was, I would feel like opportunity was there. And because it wasn't met, they went out and got Gensel because they were reminded all the time, this club needs to get another scorer.
Yeah.
So I always worry when you then kind of default or maybe move, like pivot slightly backwards to renew interest in someone you already had. You know what I mean, right?
I know what you're saying. I think we could say the same with Dylan Cousins here in Buffalo this year.
Younger, though, and different.
Younger, I mean, yeah,
Carolina's
but he's either 2 years ago
player. Been in the playoffs for so long, right? Like, it's, I think the dynamic is totally different, right? Yeah, that's all.
You, when you look at the numbers, you could say, hey, look, is Dylan more what he was 2 years ago and progressing in that direction, or was he more what he was last year? I think Cousins is more what he was 2 years ago and progressing in that direction. I think
especially with a better team, which they hope they have now.
And Natchez, right? I think, is more what he was 2 years ago and progressing that way. I think 70 to 75 points would be good for Natchez. And now you're thinking, well, okay, arbitration may get him between $6.5 million and $7 million. Mm-hmm. And you're going to use a $7 million player if you have him, and you're going to put him on the power play. You're going to put him on the top two lines because it kind of warrants that, especially with what you lost this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way they have what they have about $13 million on the cap right now, I mean, just about just, 14.
But it's all going to be gone.
It's seven. It's seven for Natchez or close to, and seven for, and maybe more than seven for Jarvis, like seven and a half.
All of our discussions previously for Jarvis, and especially now, I get it, younger than Konechny, so you can't just go there to that number, but we speculated a lot about just how high this Jarvis deal could go, and inflation across the league with a rising cap has shown that some of these contracts, you know, now granted, the Byfield one was a disservice to Jarvis.
Yes.
You know, in what he ultimately took dollar wise and term. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, it's seven and a half. So, but if you see those guys coming in at that, do you see another move from Carolina still then to try to balance
I just can't see it. I look at their roster And look, I look at their lines. I think they're going to run with Svechnikov, Aho, and Jarvis on the top line. That's what it was last year. That's what it would be this year. And they have Kotkaniemi. That's going to have to play second line center with Natchez on the wing. And then who's the left winger on that line? You know, maybe it's Roslovic. Maybe it's maybe Will Carrier plays second. I don't know. Like, that's what Carolina is right now. It's we believe in, you know, our defense with, you know, Slavin.
Well, and yes and no. Careful how you phrase it.
They lost Shea and Pesci this year. That's huge.
And could well lose, in one case, presumably to retirement, but you can never be too sure. But Brent Burns is 39, and he's entering his last year. And Dmitry Orlov, who only took the two-year deal, is going into the final year of his deal. So they have another opening coming up here of almost $14 million on the blue line next season. But they've already extended Slavin, and that's going to be a team-friendly deal at 6.4 moving forward. They brought in Sean Walker. They brought in Goss Despair, and they extended Chatfield. But if you're looking at like a two-year sample of what the Canes were in the end of last year's playoffs to what they might be 2 years from now on their blue line, holy cow.
It's like, not the same.
That is nowhere close to being the same. So
no, and last year they were fourth in the league in goals against per game because they had a good defense and their goaltending, not that their goalies were great, but they had a solid defense and their structure was great. Their penalty kill was first because they had a solid defense and their structure was great. That's going to change as well. I see Carolina taking a step back this year when I look at all of it.
Well, in multiple years now, consecutively, the Canes have been the best in the NHL when it comes to shot differential. And, you know, that was why it was very interesting at one point last year when their goaltender's save percentage wasn't what you necessarily saw from some of the other best teams in the league. But part of it was they don't give up much. And as Marty Brodeur found out a time or two, like, it was hard to compete with Hasek.
They get 930 when you're giving up 24 shots a game.
Exactly. It's not the easiest sometimes. And of course, it almost exposes you to more criticism based on how dominant the games can appear from a possession standpoint. So, incredibly interesting team. We'll see what unfolds there. Obviously, Don Waddell moved on to Columbus, and that was a significant move, you know, from a management position. Waddell, according to not only Elliot Friedman, but Aaron Portsline, the longtime reporter in Columbus, has said that Patrick Laine has been cleared to return from the NHL and NHLPA Player Assistance Program. So that'll be an interesting talking point for us after the break with Shayna Goldman, because obviously we've been wondering when, if Laine returns and whether it will in fact be for some games with Columbus, or does he get moved on somewhere else to his liking, a better position for both he and the team. So that's
taking it seriously this summer too. I seen some training video of him doing some wide receiver drill, some football training and all of that. Like, it's a completely different summer than what we've seen in the past.
Well, that's great to hear. And we certainly encourage you to continue, you know, following along in this hockey off season, but ramping up for next year. And that includes tomorrow. We have the open house down at KeyBank Center. You can check out available full, half, quarter season seat locations and learn, of course, about member benefits, exclusive perks. And in this particular instance tomorrow, check out unique merchandise and game-used equipment for purchase while supplies last. Sabres.com/openhouse. Shayna Goldman next on a Friday edition of Sabres Live.